Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
It's Bud Pod 165.
165. We must strive. We must strive, Pierre. We strive to be back here for one more Bud Pod.
At least one more Bud Pod. That's the least we can say. Am I wrong in saying, Phil, that 165 as a number feels yellow and red?
I don't see yellow and red.
Okay.
Well, I see red. I see red in the six. Five is black to me.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. Five is quite... Yeah, it's very neutral. It's quite masculine. It's black.
Ah, that is interesting. Also, hello, thank you very much to all the pod buds who were at Phil's book signing interview chat with both of us in Bristol. In Bath.
The
city of hygiene,
cutesy equivalent of the cutesy Jane Austen version of Bristol.
Yes, Bristol's Bridgerton.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, it was at the Bath Festival on Saturday, and Pierre and I were at the Comedian Bath, and it was great. A load of pod buds turned up.
Cool cats.
Yeah, a lot of cool cats who I think were very thrilled to have a surprise bonus Pierre there.
Yes.
Chatting to me about the book.
Yes, I don't think I was advertised, or I don't know. I just showed up with my little book.
Yep.
I like to think I got some goddamn answers out of you for once, actually.
Yeah, Pierre really grilled me. I think if you're close enough to the stage, you could have seen the beads of sweat forming and dribbling down my forehead.
You look like Nixon.
Yeah. I was like, when Phil Wang writes it, it isn't illegal.
We should do that. We should write a hard-hitting stage play called Wang Novelli with a little slash there. And it's sort of like, it's done like Frost Nixon, but it's just talking about people pooing into their own hands. I'm David Frost, and I've got a whole crew of people saying, "Don't let him get away with it. Make sure he tells you what he thinks about people pooing in their hands." Yes, I'll do my best.
And he's like, "So you're saying that when you and Pierre Novelli were talking for all those hours, there was recording equipment, you were being recorded?" And I just start sweating like,
Of course, the one thing we never got to the bottom of is why? Why record it?
Who on earth would want to hear this?
Why record evidence of so many crimes that you knew to be wrong? Like pooing in your hand. I would love to listen to a podcast of Richard Nixon and Henry Kissinger chatting about shitting themselves. It would be of genuine historical value, I feel. But it was cool. It was nice to...
Yes, packed house.
Packed house.
Like 300, 400 people there. So many people. Fun questions, good questions. Only one was about me on Taskmaster. Because usually I go to these book events and chat about the book for 45 minutes and then go, "Any questions?" And all these hands go up. I was like, "Yes. Why did you wear the yellow jumpsuit on Taskmaster?"
Mm.
And then I'm like, if you have a question just about the jumpsuit on Taskmaster, can you put your hand down?" And all the hands go down. But there were questions about the book. There were questions about my opinions on things, which is exactly what I like to hear. I love when people want to know my opinions on things. It's great. And it was great. Pierre was great. We had some real great laughs. It felt... You know what, Pierre? It was actually the closest we've gotten to the forbidden Bud Pod Live.
Yeah, that's true. It was a Bud Pod Live in all but name in some ways.
Yeah.
With the thin cover of the book there masquerading for those unaware of the podcast as a way to trick them into coming.
It will literally be a thin cover soon, Pierre, because the paperback is coming out next month.
Very nice. Very nice. You can finally bend Wang's book.
That's right. That's right. No more hard covers. Just no hard truths.
Yeah, just hard truths. Has it softened your heart, Phil, towards the forbidden idea of a live Bud Pod?
Maybe. I don't want to start getting people excited, but it was fun.
Has it reassured it you good. That it wouldn't just be you sweating and going, poo comes from the bum? And then running off stage in like that kind of loose elbowed way that people run when they're children.
Yeah, it did. It did reassure me that we would have something to talk about in front of a crowd of people for an hour.
Oh yes. Especially with live correspondent. Imagine that, correspondent straight from the horse's mouths.
That's a good idea, isn't it? For people to have to say their shame. Say your shame.
Because obviously the correspondence we get is so well written. They'd be like standing up and reading out like a little short story about their own bum. It'd be great.
Yeah, it'd be like a presentation in English class.
Yeah. Yes. What did your bum do this weekend? Everyone? Can I hear from you?
Everyone go home and write about what your toilets did over the summer.
Extra credit, yeah. I never understood the idea of... Well, I mean, I understood it through implication, but I was always fascinated by this American idea that they had to get all these... It was like Star Trek, had to get these credits together. God forbid you don't have the credits. And
which credits were these?
Well, just in TV shows and things. I gotta get extra credit. That class is worth four credits. Yeah. It was like something from a sci-fi novel. And...
Or this is going on my permanent record.
Yes, yeah. We've discussed in the past the idea that there's this insane, indestructible record somewhere. And like characters can be tempted to doing things where it's like, you're sure you don't want to come to banjo class? No, I say, it's extra credit. Okay. And that'll be like the plot will start from there, you know. It's just credits. I just love the idea that you've got this little like, bloop, bloop, like video game bank.
Yeah, like you have to fill Mass Effect.
Yeah, and somehow it's like, well, you have loads of credits now, so you have a degree from a university or whatever. And you go, oh, okay, sick. I thought I had to do specific, like in the UK system, it's like specific subjects the whole time and then an exam and a dissertation. There's no chance of outside credits at all.
Thank God.
And thank fuck, yes. Although it would have been funny to get the degree I have while like contributing to it with like 5 credits from like karate or something.
Yeah, mini golf.
Mini golf, yeah, or just a class on where you all write poems.
Speaking of karate, Pierre, last night I went to see the new movie Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Okay, so that movie, everyone I know in the world is talking about it as if they got to the movie theater and suddenly a big mouth came out of the screen and just sucked them off for 2 hours.
I mean, they're not far off. It is it is amazing.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah, it's incredible. It's one of the greatest movies I've ever seen, and I'm not prone to hyperbole, as
no,
you
you're
know
not.
Very well. Yeah,
I'd say
it's
you're prone
incredible.
To. I'd say you're prone to hyperbole.
Right, so making things decreasing the bully. Yeah.
You're a minimizer.
I like small bully. I like very small bullies. Yeah, yeah, but it's absolutely incredible and it's so imaginative and so interesting and so beautiful and
what?
done so. In a way, humbly, like the whole movie I saw today, it's visually one of the most stunning movies I've ever seen. And the budget for the whole movie was, I think, $25 million, which is less, apparently, than the food budget on Doctor Strange.
Gee, you're kidding.
Yeah. No.
$25 million for Benedict sandwiches?
for big sandwiches, beer.
For Benedict's eggs, his eggs Benedict.
His cumberbatch sandwiches. His cucumber batch sandwiches.
Eggs Benedict and cucumber batch sandwiches. $25 million of them.
That's
please.
Why they're so expensive. Just a licensing of his name for those foods.
Yeah,
alone cost $15 million.
Which is a way of rerouting his fee. God,
yeah,
okay.
I mean, there is Jamie Lee Curtis, who's in Everything Everywhere All at Once, who's been tweeting this, and maybe she was kidding, and I've taken it. Maybe she was using hyperbole herself, and I've taken it as true. But it costs a lot less than Doctor Strange, and I think it's doing quite a bit better.
Are you telling me that this is the kind of thing I have to see in the cinema?
Yeah, I would say so.
Balls! Okay. So.
It's truly great. It's a lot more Chinesey than I expected it to be. Because one of the director writers is a Chinese American, and it stars Michelle Yeoh, who's a Chinese Malaysian. She's the great Malaysian actor.
Oh right, okay. Had you heard of her before?
Oh yeah. Every Malaysian knows of Michelle Yeoh. Was she the first Asian Bond girl or something like that?
In
the 90s. Yeah.
Yes, I know who you mean now. Yes, Co. Okay. Oh, man, I've got to get myself to the skinema. I got to go to the skinema.
Yeah, you got to get yourself scound to the skinema.
I got to get scound to the skinema to scotch some scoovies. I've got to do it. It's been ages since I've been. It's just finding the time, and I say finding the time, it's literally down the road, but like showings and all that. I just need to get off my ass and do it.
I'm sure you go quite a lot. Every time I say, oh, that movie's supposed to be good, and he's like, yeah, you're always like, yeah, it's all right. And he's like, what, when did you see it? And he's like, I don't know, just I saw it. You seem quite casual about like seeing a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I try to just sort of wander down and do it almost like it's in my lunch break sort of vibes, ideally. Yeah. Although, I mean, a lot of it is just because I was on those two flights recently, and I managed three movies each way, so that's a good six down.
That's good going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At the cost of sleep, of course. God, I need to do it. Phil, what's your go-to movie house snatch?
My snatch? Yes. My movie house snatch, if it's available.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday, I had a small salted popcorn. Because I usually go for a mixed salty and sweet popcorn. But I'd had a lot of sweet things yesterday, Pierre. I don't know how it happened. I just happened to have a lot of sweet things, yeah. And sweet cloys on me, hangs around. And
yes,
it kind of builds up. I only have so much tolerance per day. And once I hit my sweet limit, I can't take any more. And
yeah.
I need salty.
To
contract, to heal.
You and I are quite similar in that respect, in that if you have enough of a sweet, like if we had a sweet breakfast, you know, pancakes, syrup or whatever, that's the sugar for the day, really.
Yeah, we're sons of savory, Pierre. We're the sons of savory.
We're a couple of salty little bullies. Couple of salty sailors, absolutely. And I know what you mean. Even if the sweetness was like... The sweetness? Even if it was like 14 hours ago, you still go, no, I still kind of feel sick from then.
Yeah. Yep.
It's like the
when
sugar
stays in
your throat.
When I get to the dinner at a restaurant, when they're like, would you like dessert? I don't even do the, oh, maybe shall we? I don't even do that sort of flirty thing with whoever I'm with. Oh, I don't know. Maybe we should. I just straight away, Bill, that's my dessert.
Yeah.
Bill, you're going to put icing sugar in it? That's your business, but I want the Bill. I'm full of salt and I want to go to bed.
I filled myself with salt and oil. And now I have to sleep. And if I have dessert, it'll be the chalky little mint that you put on the Bill.
At most.
The crunchy little chalk stick with sugar in it that I
mean, the whole dessert course doesn't really make sense. It's like, oh, well, now you're so full and lethargic and slow and a bit sick. Yeah. Would you like some caffeine and sugar to keep you awake during this uncomfortable period?
Yeah. Now that you're packed with oil and salt and you feel heavy like a bear, would you want to just lose your mind for a bit? Do you want to sprint home shitting?
I guess the shitting bit is a good part. That's a good reason to have coffee right after a big meal.
Yeah, that's true.
Just kind of evacuate, going. Make space, yeah. Get a head start on tomorrow's homework, as it were.
Get it pre-downloaded. So you can just install it the next day. Yeah,
Everything everywhere all at once, superb. Everyone must see it. It's just great to have so many Chinese actors in it, and they speak Chinese in a very authentic way. There's so much authentic Chinese stuff, but it's also very accessible for anyone who isn't Chinese. Obviously, but
you're the first person. So good. You're the first person I know who's gone on about how brilliant it was. Who's actually mentioned how Chinesey it is.
Yeah, yeah, it's astonishingly Chinesey. Yeah. I mean, for a huge film like this.
Well, retrospective credit to all the honkies who were talking about how good it was, who resisted the urge to go on about how Chinesey it was.
I then continued the evening. The friend who I went with went home after the film, and I was peckish, so I went down to Lanzhou Lamian, which is a noodle place in Leicester Square. That's a tiny little hole in the wall, basically, that's very good, so it's always packed. But I got a little place, and I sat down into this packed table with other Chinese people, and I got delicious Chinese noodles after a Chinese film. And then one of the Chinese gals leant over and said, "Sorry, are you Phil Wang?"
No.
And she'd just seen my special with a friend, and then she leaned over to the other Chinese people at the table, and she said, "Tasha, you're a Hunyo Ming, the stand-up comedian," which meant he's a very famous stand-up comedian. and then she went away. When she left and she came back, and she said, "I paid for your bill."
No.
She got a photo with me. She paid for my bill. And it's like, am I still in the movie? It was so great.
What?
It's such a Chinese. So thank you to that lady, that gal.
I paid for your. She paid for your nudes.
She paid for my nudes and my soya bean milk.
What?
Yeah.
That's all anyone ever wants from a strange woman.
Yeah.
It's free soya bean milk. I want a strange woman
to buy me nudes and bean juice.
That's what people get on your OnlyFans, isn't it? Nudes and bean juice.
That's the bean you want to juice for the end of the evening. Not the coffee bean, the soya bean. I start and end my days, Pierre, with a black bean and then a white bean. It's the yin and yang.
The Phil Wang yin yang bean approach.
Yeah, the yin yang bean diet. Start the day with a black bean, end with a white bean.
God, yeah.
By God, I've cracked it.
You've nailed it. And try and maybe go through all the other colours of beans throughout the day and then just fart yourself to sleep. That's so cool. So what was the reaction? I'm interested. Was she the only person who knew? And when she sort of excitedly told everyone else in Chinese, did they look up from their noodles in awe? Or did they just go, and pull their bowls away from her?
It was a very polite Chinese indifference.
Nice.
It was a kind of, oh, okay.
Oh, okay, if you say so.
And the girl direct across from me, when the girl who recognized me left, she caught my eye and she just gave me one of those smiles, that kind of like smile, sort of like just a quick acknowledgement that we're both here, smile. Like when you bump into a colleague in the kitchen making coffee and just like, you've got nothing to say to each other, but you can't not acknowledge that you know each other and have happened to be in the same space at the same time. So you have to give the sort of kind of flat smile.
Right. So she did that to you as if to say, I'm not buying you any food.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not buying you any food, but I heard what she said and I'm happy for you.
I heard what she said. I saw you take the selfie and I think that's all great. But by God, if you think I'm going to buy you a sweet red bean paste dessert, you got another thing coming.
And you know, come to think of it now, the way I looked at her after the girl left did look a bit like me going, "And what are you going to buy me?"
As if you go, "Bye, bye, bye, thank you, bye." And then you just, yeah, just look up like, "Well?
Your turn."
And you're just with one chopstick just hammering on the side of an empty bowl.
"I'm hungry."
"Who's next?" You become like that sort of demon from Spirited Away.
Which one?
The big ghost demon with the mask on that keeps eating.
Oh yeah.
No face. Yeah. You just sat there like no face. Rah, 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 as people sort of buy you tribute. That's really cool, man.
It's lovely. Lovely evening.
How the hell do you round it? Like, how the hell do you end an evening like that? You've just got to go into Leicester Square and start firing a gun into the sky, don't you? It's the only way to end on a high. When the heights, you go, great film. You feel very sort of like enveloped by the film, embraced, and then to be literally fed and embraced by someone who's seen your work, and then. Guy, that's a lot of energy. I'm surprised you didn't...
In a restaurant that was thematically consistent with the movie I'd just seen. Yeah, it was a good evening.
I'm surprised you didn't sprint home and commit several murders on the way.
It was lovely. It was lovely. Oh, don't think I didn't consider it, Pierre.
Yeah.
I was also on one of those gentle hangovers.
Ooh.
Where I hadn't slept too great, but I wasn't like sick or headachey. I was just a bit sort of woozy and
foggy
and dreamy. Yeah, dreamy. You kind of have one of those kind of dreamy days where everything feels just a little bit surreal. And so that kind of added to it. That was really nice. There's no way to operate those days. You can't have anything important to do that day, but they can be quite nice, sort of zen, reflective, emotional days, I find.
Yeah, definitely. And especially yesterday where you had a sort of combination of, it was a warm day, but in my head, the ideal would be a very short burst of very soft rain.
It's lovely. The temperature right now in London, yesterday and today, is ideal. It's so nice. It's not raining, but it's a bit cool on the air, Pierre.
It's
a bit cool in the shade. It's so nice.
So what, to travel back, what sweets, Phil? Because I did...
Oh, at the cinema?
Well, no, what sweets did you have that made you have to have the little salty boy? Because you said you had a sweet, sweet day.
Yeah, I had a sweet day because I started the day with a cinnamon croissant pastry thing that was nice after a bite, but then after three, you're like, this is too sweet.
Yeah, and it quickly degenerates into you sort of go, is this cinnamon icing in folds of essentially paper?
So I ended up throwing that away. It's also not a great way to start your day. Just like load up with sugar and you go, "Oh, I'm awake, I'm ready." And then half an hour after, you're like, "I want to go to bed."
Yeah, the 11:30 a.m. crash.
And then in the afternoon, I had an enormous American cookie from my Seth Meyers when I performed on the Seth Meyers late show in New York.
Yeah.
It's on YouTube now. If you look up Phil Wang Seth Meyers, I did a 5-minute set on there. But I got a little goodie bag because they always give these TV shows always give you a little goodie bag to take home.
Oh, cool!
And I got some like New York cookies from this place that is supposedly well known, and they're
New York cookies.
They're so thick. These cookies, Pierre. There's like basically cake in the middle and
what?
Cookie on the outside.
Really?
It's thick. They're thick boys. They're like they're the size of English scones, but they're cookies.
Jesus Christ, that's not a cookie anymore.
They're thick with two C's, boys, B-O-I-S.
Yeah, thick they boys. Are. They got that cake. They got that cake, as they say. Oh, my Lord. And what is Seth Meyers? We haven't really discussed that. What's Seth Meyers like in real life, IRL?
IRL. Seth Meyers is a really nice guy. He came in to my dressing room before I went on to give me a little... chat just to introduce himself and everything. He was telling me about when he used to do the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Mad.
In 1999 to 2001 or 2 or something, like he did the Fringes. And I think, unless I misunderstood, he shared these bills, or at least one of them, with none other than a young pre-The Office Mackenzie Crook.
Whoa.
Mackenzie Crook doing weird character stuff. And then Seth Meyers doing his stand-up.
Whenever I hear about famous Americans doing the Edinburgh Fringe in any context, it always weirds me out in the same way that if I found out Seth Meyers had gone to my primary school. So you go, what, when? What?
It is.
Why?
It's also funny because the Fringe is something that we all here in the UK in a comedy industry accept as something you sort of need to do.
Yeah.
And we know why we do it. We know why we spend all that money and go through all that emotional and mental turmoil for a month. We know why we do it. We know that that's going to happen and we still sign up to it. That's how much it means to us. But then when an American says they did it, we go, ugh, why? Are you nuts?
You're mental, as we continue to do it for a decade. Yeah.
What I think is that we've internalized so much the understanding that Americans have a better life than we do.
Yeah.
And enjoy themselves and have a more pleasant life experience. And we're like, what? But these horrible experiences are for us, not you.
Yeah, it's almost eerie. It's a bit like finding a whole bunch of a cult in America of fans of like Weatherspoon's breakfasts. Well, the breakfasts apparently have quite a good reputation. The burgers, maybe. You sort of go, really? And they go, yeah, we love it. You go, but you have better things, don't you? Very mysterious. Don't you? I did the opposite on Sunday, Phil. It was my older sister has a birthday or had a birthday. Depending on when you're listening to this recently. And we had a lekker braai, a big old barbecue.
Oh, lovely.
And I ate a mile of meat.
Why don't you eat a mile in Pierre's shoes and see how you feel after that?
Eat a mile in my shoes. Yeah?
Yeah.
And see how you feel.
You don't think meat is good? Well, why don't you eat a mile in Pierre's shoes? Oh, you don't feel sick, do you? You don't feel sick right now? You don't feel like you're about to throw up and shit at the same time? Well, why didn't you eat a mile in Pierre's shoes?
We're trying to get everyone in Britain to eat a mile of meat. To hasten the destruction of the planet, eat a mile of meat. A meter of meat a day, and you'll hit a mile before you know it. I'd love that. Chris Tarrant telling everyone. Chris Tarrant visibly and audibly like, doing little burps and farts and just really red and sweaty. Just eating some mince, you know, it's like cooked mince and onions. Eat a mile of meat. Yeah. I did my part.
A mile of meat.
Wow,
that's amazing. So your sister had a birthday braai. So yeah, a big South African BBQ.
Yeah.
Where in someone's garden or in a park or
in a garden
on a runway
on a runway under siege
on a busy runway in the air on the beaches
in the valleys and in the hills.
We ate a mile of meat.
Weird.
That's lovely. Now I know you are a tongman yourself. You like to man the forge at a braai. Were you flipping joints?
I was
tossing sausages.
I was off duty. My brother-in-law was on duty along with my father, and that's more than enough tongmen. There's more than enough tongmen. I helped out by eating a lot of dip.
Just with a spoon?
Yeah, very helpful. And intermittently watching pieces of a show on Netflix that one of my nephews likes, which appears to be about dinosaurs that are made out of trucks.
Dinosaurs that are made out of trucks. Okay, so like in the Transformer kind of way, the trucks become a dinosaur, but then you can see like the shoulder is... I don't know, one of the axles, and then the back is the exhaust pipe, or the tail is the exhaust pipe, or something like that.
You've got the right idea, but they're never just trucks. They're always dinosaurs made of machinery that is also construction machinery truck stuff.
Okay, so they're all specifically construction vehicles.
Yes, but one is like a Stegosaurus truck and one is like a T-Rex truck.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah. Now, I would have thought that... See, the backhoe... No, not the backhoe. Yes, the backhoe is the crane. And then the one that swivels around and has a big, long digger plow thing.
Mm.
It already looks like a Brontosaurus. So does that one not have to change?
You're pretty much bang on there. Yeah, they've just given it some eyes and some robo teeth, kind of.
Some googly eyes, yeah.
And they're all on like tank tracks or wheels, depending on the original device. And I was watching it and I was so impressed with whoever had just gone, you know what? Little boys fucking love trucks and diggers and they fucking love dinosaurs. So why don't we just insanely smush them together and become billionaires? And they just did it.
I mean, I would have been obsessed with that show when I was a kid. I loved construction vehicles so much. We'd be walking around town, and if there was an unattended backhoe or plow thing, my father would just pick me up and put me in the cockpit, and I would just be beaming from ear to ear. I loved construction vehicles when I was a wee lad.
Do you remember what the feeling was? The source of the love?
I don't know. I was just obsessed with it. There are just photos of me as a toddler, just like the happiest I've ever been, just sat in the seat by some controls of a backhoe. I don't know what it was. I think I love the yellow. I love the yellow and the black on them.
That's
I love
a good
the size of them and the power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think there's some stuff that little kids like that I get. Like, it kind of makes sense to me how many kids are like obsessed with the bin men.
Right. Yes. I get that. Yeah.
Because like the bin men are kind of heroes, really. They take away your horrible, stinky bins. And
they're sort of mysterious, and that they're like a rubbish truck's kind of cool. It's got like clank, clank, clank bits.
It's
and
a
like
big truck. It's also
got a
big
mouth
truck
at the end. It's a big truck.
They're quite strong. The strong heroes are coming, and your parents are obsessed with them. Your parents are always put out the bins. Oh, what about the bins? Are the bins? They're always going on about the bins. Mm. So they clearly matter. For these mysterious early morning gods.
I was fascinated when I was young by systems that took something from somewhere and made them end up elsewhere. So like post, I was really fascinated by.
Yes.
Or the bin men and streams. I was very fascinated by streams when I was small, and by the idea of putting like a leaf at one bit of a stream and watching the stream take the leaf further down the stream. The idea of something being placed in one spot and then it being taken to another spot really fascinated me. Falling, dropping things, I was really fascinated by.
You need to watch the Amazon series that is very unknown and underrated, in my opinion, Patriot. Because they discuss, it's very good on its own terms, but also there's a very interesting amount of like themes and discussion about like moving things from A to B and what that means. Because the guy, it's a CIA agent who has to masquerade as a fluid dynamics expert. Pipes.
Yes, I'm interested.
Very funny. And I would say it's a mixture of, it's like if the Coen brothers tried to make a Wes Anderson spy TV show.
Gosh, that mixes together a lot of things I quite like.
Yeah, man. Give it a little look. But before you look at it, shall we look at some correspondence?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Ring letters,
emails,
phone
calls,
correspondence.
Neil gets in touch.
Neil, what's your spiel?
What's his spiel? Well, I'll tell you what his spiel is. He says, hi, Philvis and Pierrehead.
Oh, Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, and the subject line is Peavis and Poohead, which is good.
Yeah, that's good.
I'm a pistorian who occasionally subjects his dearly beloved wife to your podcast when we are going back and forth to hospitals while we wait for her kidney transplant.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. After the fourth or fifth time of me forcing her to listen while I drove giggling and holding back tears of laughter, I looked over and she was struggling to cope with the story of the poo vagina.
Oh, the nadir.
The nadir. Episode 53, if memory serves, or 51, something like that. She found it so funny that she came up with the title of the email, Peavis and Poohead. She said, they are the posh, clever version of Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah, that's pretty spot on.
That's pretty good. I'm pleased with that. I'd put that on a poster. Yeah.
The posh... Was it the posh...
Clever.
Yes, the posh, clever Beavis and Butthead. Yeah, I'll take that, absolutely.
Yeah, and I think, well, both of you know, you and I are posh sounding in the sense that we've had to fit into this country's incredibly stratified education system, and we're not legit aristocrats, sadly for us.
No, sadly.
Sadly. Someday we'll have a needlessly enormous home that we have to rent out to the National Trust, but not yet. Not yet. He says, I think this is high praise indeed, and I will not redact it. Also a love of Frank Skinner's show. Correct. Very wise man, Neil.
Very good. Neil has taste. Mm-hmm.
As I'm now 5 episodes away from fully catching up, over 100 hours in under 2 weeks, being a full-time carer gives me lots of podcast time. Bloody hell, Neil. That's a lot.
Mm.
Well done.
That is a lot.
Good for you. Absolutely love both of your work. I was aware of Phil from his stand-up work, and as soon as I saw Pierre on the MASH report, I was hooked. Wow, that's an old cut. That's a deep cut.
Wow, rather. That's great. It was a great appearance, your appearance on the MASH report.
Popping up there. Talking about Ukraine before it was cool in one of them.
Yeah, wow. You were in on the ground.
I was in on the ground floor.
You got in on the ground, yeah.
That's right, and people weren't listening. They're listening now to Bud Pod. keep up the amazing podcast. I have a local shop that sells lots of tats, so expect some pics. More Marjorie and Lucky Kentucky, please. He also says, I've had IBS for 20 years, so there's too many poo stories to mention, but imagine a posh restaurant with basically a shed in one corner with a toilet in, 40th birthday party with the entire family, and you can imagine the rest. Can't bring myself to recall it in full. Sorry, Koji, Neil.
I mean, Neil's left us very much there with a blank canvas.
Yeah. Yeah, but I mean,
shit onto.
Much like monsters and horror films, the shit incident we're now imagining is always more frightening than the truth.
That's right. It's the unseen horror that's scarier than the seen horror.
Why would a posh restaurant have a shed with a toilet in the corner? Or like,
that doesn't sound very posh, does it?
Or like a little enclosure. I know what he means. Somewhere where like the toilet facilities have been put in by builders, like just putting up a wall that wasn't originally there, you know?
But that doesn't sound posh. Unless it's like a resort or something and you walk through a covered little path with lovely plants on either side into the toilet chalet.
Yeah.
Maybe then.
And then there's a little Frenchman in there.
Yeah.
And he says, Bienvenue à le chalet. Au chalet de poux, au chalet de caca.
Chalet de caca.
Chalet de caca. Oui.
If I ever make a wine, they'll be called a Chateau de Caca.
Chateau de Caca, Maison Bottom. Maison Bottom.
Maison Derrière. Oh no, that's the name of the burlesque house in Simpsons.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
No, I mean, like, you know, it gets like on wine bottles, it says like mise en bouteille, like bottled, put into bottles.
Oh, yeah.
So that, but mise en bottom, put into bottoms. Audible. That could be the what's on your Would you ever sell medical products that with unproven efficacy, Phil? Perhaps enemas?
Do enemas have unproven efficacy?
Would you sell a product of unproven medical efficacy? Such as a herbal enema?
I don't think I would. Not seriously.
I don't think I would. But then, you know, you never know. If you're listening and you've got a bunch of them in a warehouse, as long as you let us be honest.
Do write in and we'll... Yeah, we'll make a case-by-case judgment.
Let's see, what is this person? Joseph gets in touch. He does sign his name.
Joseph. What up, Brozif?
Oh, he's a Technicolor dreamboat. dear Dr. Novelli and License to Phil.
Oh, nice. A bond. A bond-themed correspondence.
Correspondence. I have a story that you, as purveyors of turd-based tales, may enjoy.
Yes.
Yeah. In the summer of 2012, me and two friends were towards the end of a backpacking trip around Morocco.
Ah, I've been sort of backpacking in Morocco.
Mm.
It's a cool country.
Hot, I imagine.
Quite hot, and you need to know your French to get around.
You need to know your Chateau de Caca from your mise en bottom. Let's just put it that way. While in the coastal town of, Walidia.
That's what you say when your wife Lydia's put on a beautiful dress.
Walidia.
And you're
a
southern...
as beautiful as the day we met, Walidia.
And you're a southern colonel. Walidia. I didn't know you still owned that. So that's where he is. He's in Walidia. Coastal town, he says. I was struck down with a nasty case of food poisoning owing to a dodgy bit of fish.
Yeah, they have dodgy fish down that Walidia.
Well, Lydia, this fish is repugnant.
This fish has given me the humours. Well, Lydia,
this fish is... Why, it's running down my thighs. Bit vivid there. Dodgy bit of fish. This meant that for the duration of our two-day stay, while my friends were sunning themselves by the lagoon, I was stuck in the bathroom of our apartment, destroying the toilet with a violent and incessant firework display. I did my best to keep hydrated and took plenty of travel sickness medication, but when the time came to move on to our final stop of the trip in Fez...
Fez, yes, classic.
Yeah, classic. He's going to Fez, FES, which I believe is where they're from, isn't it? The hats?
It's where the hat's from, yeah.
Yeah, hats off to Fez, that's what they say.
Nice.
And all the tourist gear.
Nice.
I love that. I was feeling quite literally less than half the man I used to be. I'd been well and truly imploded and hollowed out from the inside. And felt more like a hologram than a human. As we were strapping on our backpacks and about to leave the apartment to catch our bus, I felt a rumble in my stomach, followed by a sharp abdominal contraction.
I sort of imagine him at that point, like, you know when a tarantula sheds a skin because it got too big and leaves a sort of ghost tarantula? Like, just kind of... just a casing in the shape of a tarantula. That's what I imagine.
A casing in the shape of a backpacker.
Yeah, that's right. That's what I imagine Joseph looked like.
Yeah, sort of like white and sort of a bit translucent, like a fingernail.
Yeah, exactly. A carapace? Carapace. Is that what they're called?
Carapace,
madam. Would you like some carapace?
Why, Lydia, your carapace is delightful. Thank you, sir. Why, you must never ask a lady how old she is or at what stage of shedding her carapace she's at. We're going to do a deep south like cat on a hot tin roof, but everyone involved is just spiders and lobsters.
Yeah, just disgusting human-sized bugs, yeah. but who abide by the sort of decorum of the old world South.
Yeah, of the antebellum South, just very restrained South, yeah. Drawing rooms.
I've only recently learned that antebellum means pre-war.
Yes, pre-the Civil War.
Because it's only ever used to refer to the South of America, the antebellum South. You never talk about antebellum France, really. But the antebellum South, you do. I always assumed that it was, because I always thought antebellum or antechamber. So I thought it was like a geographical part of the South. The antebellum South was the bit you were in before you were in the South or something.
Well, I mean, you know, temporally, space and time being the same thing, Phil, you weren't wrong.
Yes. I suppose if you take an astrophysical approach to this, then technically I was correct.
Which is a good thing to
space and time are one.
Yeah, which is a good thing to scream as you get dragged from a shut restaurant.
In an astrophysical sense, I was correct. Get off me!
Yes, the antebellum South. So he's, what is it? Okay, so they're all strapping on their backpacks, getting ready to leave. They've got a bus to Fez to catch, right?
Yep. Hats off to Fez.
Hats off to Fez. Sharp abdominal contraction, and my body seemed to fart of its own free will. That's astonishing. Just your body deciding to clench its fist, as it were. Making you do it.
I'm in control now.
Yeah. Look at me.
I am the captain now.
I am the anus now. Only it wasn't a fart. Yep.
Oh.
Had to
fart's big brother.
Mm-hmm. It was fart's big brother.
Plus. Yeah, fart premium.
It was fart's big brother saying, show me who's been bullying you. Uh-oh. Only it wasn't a fart. I knew disaster had struck. I made an excuse and said to my friends I was going to do one for the road. That's a funny attitude to shitting.
Bloody hell. Did you hear that thunder?
Yeah. I thought that was you moving wheeled furniture.
I thought it was maybe Joseph's fart.
Yeah, then, God.
Yeah, we've added sound effects to BudPod listeners. Yeah, that was incredible. Yeesh, that was deep. That had some bass to it.
I think I just heard some, but it might have been a low-flying
like
plane.
That bass was like I was in a Berlin nightclub, Pierre. That was so deep.
Spooky.
It's good stuff.
So he says, I'm going to do one for the road and I'll catch you up. He goes to inspect the damage. Sure enough, there are around 3 tablespoons worth of slimy, mucousy shit in my pants. Ugh.
I think I know. Yes, I can picture it.
Yeah. Like a baby's first poo.
Yeah. That Edible. Involuntary, like... That kind of shit where you go, if it weren't for modern medicine, I would be dead in a day.
I think I was haunted. He says, 3 tablespoons may not sound like much, but I can assure you it's enough. Clearly the medication...
it's like an ectoplasm. It's an ectopoop.
It's an ectopoop, yes.
It's that kind of poop, the ectopoop.
That's why the thunder happened, because it was a ghost. Clearly, the medication I'd taken to try and bung myself up for the journey hadn't worked, and the volcano of bubbling shit in my digestive tract was still active. I cleaned myself up, changed my boxes, and put the soiled pair in the bin. A lot of binned boxes on this podcast, more than I would have ever have thought.
Yeah.
The reality of the situation sunk in. I was about to embark on a 5-hour bus trip and had just demonstrated I couldn't even make it out of the apartment without sharting.
Oh, no.
Yeah, shartment. I knew from previous trips there would not be a toilet on the bus, and wasn't sure if the stop of halfway in Casablanca would allow me enough time to take a toilet break and say, spray it again, Sam. Very good.
This is fun trivia. That line doesn't exist in the movie. He never says, play it again, Sam.
That's right, isn't it? He says something close to it?
Yeah, maybe like play it or
like
shut
the
up song
and, or shut up and play or something.
Shut up and play it or that slaps, Sam. I think he said that tune slaps.
He says, yo, that shit is fire, son.
Yeah, that's another the actual line. Yeah, which people don't remember or we forget. Yeah,
but yes, spray it again, Sam. Very good. I was trying to think of a joke related to the film, and that one is based on the often misquoted line from Humphrey Bogart / Beaufort is the best I could do. Sorry. Bumfrey Beaufort.
Bumfrey Beaufort.
Bumpy like Blowfart.
Yeah, once again, we're getting close to losing all trace of the original name.
Just no meaning at all. Just going to somewhere and go, oh, do you know Bumpy Blowfart? You go, what? I don't even know what you've just said. Yeah. Yeah, I've really wrecked it. Yeah, I'm hearing it now. And where I'm on the other side of London to you. Spooky.
Isn't that sweet? We're sharing the same storm.
We share a storm together. That would be good, Tat.
We share a storm, yeah.
So he says, we hadn't budgeted for an extra day in Lydia. So trying to stay for another night at the apartment wasn't an option either. I knew I had to get on the bus in a few minutes, and it felt like I was almost certainly going to shit myself at some point. It felt like I was approaching certain doom. I had to do something, and fast. That something turned out to be developing a device I'd later call the man-pon.
The man-pon.
The man-pon.
Okay.
The man...
Great.
The man-pon is a generous length of toilet roll fashioned into a cigar shape. It's fun to do a sort of Groucho Marx or Winston Churchill impressions with it.
A generous length.
A generous length of toilet roll fashioned into a cigar shape and then placed between one's ass cheeks like a hot dog in a bun. Hot dogs, so, yeah.
A bit like a partial, like what the sumo wrestlers sort of wear, that kind of sumo wrestler.
Yeah.
Underwear nappy thing where that goes right through their cheeks.
Yes, exactly. Yes, but unlike sumo wrestlers and their culture of honor, this is done with the intention of shame.
Yes, 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 yes.
Yeah. So he says, my plan was thus: I would try and get a window seat on the bus, hopefully at the back, and by myself for a bit of privacy. And if/when I shat myself, the man pun would soak up the liquid feces and keep me and my clothes as clean as possible. Then I'd sneakily remove the man-pon from my ass and lob it out of the bus window onto the baking hot motorway to be dried to a crisp by the sun. I'd then fashion another man-pon out of the spare toilet roll I had in my pocket, shove it between my ass cheeks and start the awful cycle again.
Quick, another man-pon.
Quick, nurse. More man puns. The patient shouting.
I've heard worse ideas. I've heard worse ideas than the man pun.
No, this is about as smart as I guess you could be, really.
I want to see this on Dragon's Den.
I mean, the this is the most extremely effective solution he could have done, short of finding the only place in Walidia where you can buy butt plugs. Short of literally plugging his butt, the man pawn seems to be the best answer. I'm pleased to say that I miraculously made it to Fez with my underwear and the man pawn relatively unsullied.
Well done. Well done.
I do feel the man pawn gave me the confidence to take on the long bus ride, and in a small way, I'm proud of my improvisation. I felt like Rainier.
I mean, that's what they said. That's what they're like on the tampon adverts. You know?
Yeah, you feel proud.
They show the tampon, but they show the confidence you have as a woman with a tampon, running around, going for a jog, having coffee with your friends. It's the same thing with a manpon.
Yeah.
Men, get a manpon for that boost of confidence.
Men, if you have food poisoning, just get a manpon and you can go bouldering again, or roller skating, or give a business presentation. And everyone claps and they don't know that you're shitting your pants. So he says, I felt like Ray Mears if he were a character in an Irvin Welsh book. That's a good comparison.
Yes, very good, very good.
I should also stress that despite the man pon's name, I give my blessings for all genders to use it. At time of invention, I thought the perfect thing to have to hand to stem the flow would be a sanitary product, hence the name.
Yeah, but he's going full Tim Berners-Lee here. This is for the world. This is for everyone.
Yeah, this is for everyone. Just a little while he says that. This is for everyone. Human pon, you could call it. For all humans.
Human pon.
I'm keen to know what the buds would have done in my situation, and if you think I'm completely mental for trying to bung up my ass with a cigar made of toilet roll, should I have just passively accepted my fate? Should I? My only other idea was to sacrifice my least favoured t-shirt, turning it into a sort of nappy, and tying a long-sleeve top around my waist to cover its bulky form. Do either of you have any alternative solutions? Praise be and thanks... praise and thanks to be redacted. I'd like to say, well, he just says the I'll just say the praise this time. I'd like to say a sincere thank you for producing such an amazing podcast. It's comfortably given me the most laughs over anything else during the pandemic. Thank you. Good luck with the return to live performance. Keep up the excellent work. Koji Joseph in Vancouver.
Oh, thank you, Joseph in Vancouver.
Very nice.
Very nice. Yes, a great story. And I mean, you asked what we would do, but it sounds like you did pretty much as well as you could have.
You nailed it.
Yeah, you nailed it.
You
survived the ordeal and created a new product.
If we had been there, me and Phil would have hugged you like Robin Williams in Good Will Hunting and just said, "It's not your fault," over and over again, while you cried and shouted. While you were going, me and Phil both rubbing your back saying, "It's not your fault.
It's the fault of Walidia.
Walidia, your fish sure stinks."
No, well done, Joseph. You did a great job. You innovated. You MacGyvered your way out of there. You survived. That's all we can do in these situations. Survive.
Yeah. Well, Phil, now it's time for you and I to take the 5-hour boiling hot toiletless bus to the Patreon.
Yes. Yes. Join us, won't you? If that entices.
Please. There are seats near the back.
Also, just a quick plug, I have of all things beer, a beer coming out. Well, I have a beer that's come out. It's called the Orangutang, and it's a sour orange beer, the proceeds of which are going to the Orangutan Foundation in support of orangutans in my native Borneo. The beers are available at the Wine Society. So go on the Wine Society's website and look up the Orangutang. To buy some good beers for a good cause.
Buy those beers and help out those forest guys.
Forest guys, orangutans. Yeah.
My plugs, I'm just doing lots of previews all around the place. Lots of works in progresses. London, Bristol, Preston at some point in July. I'll post them on the Patreon first to give you guys the edge. And then I'll post them on Twitter.
Marvelous.
Lovely.
Great stuff all.
Thanks, guys.
Have a good week. I'll see you in the bonus pod. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.